Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Gracious Father, we ask you this morning to keep your promise that when your word goes forth, it will not return to you void without accomplishing that for which you sent it forth. Make it a reality in each of our lives this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. When I was 17 years old, I learned a little lesson about small towns. I drove an old 1963 Chevy pickup back then, and I had just graduated from high school, and like over half of those old pickups, the speedometer had ceased to work. And it was a common problem in those up until 1964 when they fixed it. But one Friday night, I was driving home and I was trying to get home in time to watch the Plenty Scary movie on Channel 8. And, of course, the speed limit back then, the maximum speed limit everywhere was 55 miles an hour in the United States. And, of course, I had no idea how fast I was going because the speedometer didn't work in my pickup. But normally, if I focused on the hum of the tires on the road and the hum of the engine, I could estimate pretty closely how fast I was going and keep it around 55. But, of course, I had to focus to do that. And that night, my mind was wandering, as it still does often. And I was just about to cross over the Illinois River Bridge on my way home, and the red lights of an Oklahoma State Trooper car came on, and it's amazing how quickly your mind can refocus, isn't it? Suddenly my mind refocused, and I said, I think I'm going a lot faster than 55. And there, a few minutes later, I sat in the car of that patrolman, and he began to ask some questions. He said, may I see your driver's license? I said, yes, sir. And then after he looked at it, he said, did you just graduate from high school? I said, yes, sir. But it was the next question that completely unnerved me, and I thought about it all night long. It was this: are you Jack's boy? He knows my dad. That's what I was thinking. He knows my dad. that's the way of the small town, isn't it? People know you and they know your family. Jesus grew up in a small town, a town called Nazareth, there in Galilee. And he lived there up until shortly before he began his ministry. And in our lesson for today, in Luke chapter 4, he comes back to his old hometown. Now, by this time, he has been engaged in ministry for quite a while. Some commentaries say up to a year, maybe. He's been out engaging in ministry, and the news about him and his miracles has come back. In fact, the Bible says it spread throughout all Galilee and beyond. And this is where our story picks up in Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 16, and it says this: so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." This is a marvelous passage, isn't it? Perhaps it has dawned on you already that, hold it just a second, those are the very things Jesus did. This passage from Isaiah is being fulfilled by Jesus. Those are the very things he did, aren't they? Healing the blind, proclaiming good news, bringing deliverance to the captives, and healing the brokenhearted. Now, it dawns on us when we read it that that's exactly what's going on, that Jesus is actually fulfilling this prophecy. But it did not dawn on the people in the synagogue that day. And Jesus has to explain it. Verse 21. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. It's kind of a gripping scene, isn't it? They're all just waiting to see what he's going to say. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now that's kind of an interesting thing, isn't it? Today this is fulfilled in your hearing. And the Greek makes it clear that's not all he said. That's just the beginning of what he said. And he actually elaborated on it. And so you would wonder, well, of course, they believed in him, right? They've heard of his miracles already. Well, let's go on to verse 22. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" They marveled at his gracious words. Now, at first glance, that sounds like a good marveling, but it was not a good marveling. It was a negative kind of marveling. They marveled at his gracious words. If you read Matthew and Mark, they specifically mentioned that they marveled that this was the carpenter's son. What they were marveling at was who it was that was speaking these words. That it was Jesus, who was from such humble circumstances, that these gracious words came from someone like him. That's what they were marveling at. In other words, in their mind, they were thinking, well, this is just Joseph's boy, right? In this to be astounding, don't you? That in spite of their acknowledgement that these were gracious words, in spite of the fact that they had heard of his miracles, they turned away in unbelief. And not only did they turn away, but if you read just a few more passages down, you'll see they actually were going to take him out and stone him. Stone Jesus. After all, this, what gives him the right to speak these words? He's just Joseph's boy in their mind. I am astounded by this. But I'm also amazed that there are millions of people all over the world today who acknowledge that the teachings of Jesus were superior to any that have ever been taught by anyone else. And yet they do not trust him as their own Savior. I wonder, too, if there is a danger even for Christians. There's a saying, an old saying that says, familiarity breeds contempt. It sure is true in this passage, but I wonder if that might sometimes be even true in your life. I know it is true sometimes in mine. There is a familiarity that can be dangerous even to the Christian. And that danger is that as we learn more and more about God and his word, we begin to take his grace for granted so that we do not allow the word to penetrate when we hear it. Sometimes people can hear the word of God. I have known people who, even while they heard the word of God, fell away from him through a sin of adultery. God says about Israel at one point, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." It is a good thing to be familiar with the word of God. So then what is it that keeps us from growing away from God? What is it that keeps us growing toward God as we hear his word? Well, it is simply repentance. Repentance, daily going to God and spending some time in self-examination. And especially, isn't this what St. Paul said when we go to the Lord's Supper? To examine yourselves. When you do, you will see areas that need to be repented of. But you will also experience forgiveness. Experience for the forgiveness for those very sins. Forgiveness that he gives you. Forgiveness full and forgiveness that is free. Because that is exactly what Jesus did when he went to the cross. When he lived his life and when he died his death. He was purchasing for you forgiveness of all of your sins. And he gives it to you freely. So become familiar with his word and let it drive you to Jesus. And the peace that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.